The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, hello everyone. This is End Time Headlines, and we're going to give you just a second to hop on here on Facebook Live, and then we'll officially welcome our podcasters and our YouTube viewers as well. So give me just a moment to hop on here, to share this to some other locations. And then we're going to teach a little bit on something that I believe that will be a blessing to you, and I hope you will enjoy. So as you guys are hopping on here, please let me know. First thing I want you to do is let me know if you're new. If you're new to this broadcast, please let us know below. Address us by saying I'm new, or first time viewer, or whatever the case may be, so that we can acknowledge you coming on here and is your first time viewing our broadcast. So again, we're about ready to go in just a second, and we're going to get started on this thing. All right, so I want to officially welcome everybody to the broadcast. This is End Time Headlines, and we want to welcome you today to this special teaching today. We want to welcome our viewers from Facebook, from podcasts, and from YouTube. Again, if this is your first time joining us on any of these platforms, please inform us and let us know that you are indeed watching or listening for the first time. And we'd sure hope that you enjoy the next few moments as we elaborate on this teaching. I want to teach on five books in heaven that you need to know about. This, I've never taught on this before. I've never taught on this subject before, but so I'm excited about teaching this and getting this out on our YouTube archives and getting this into our messages. Five books in heaven that you need to know about. All right. So the first one, if you're taking notes, I'll try to slow this down since we're doing a teaching and not a preaching today. The first book that we're going to talk about today is called the Book of the Living. Again, it's called the Book of the Living. This book appears to be a book that reveals the destinies of all humans that will be born on the earth. Now, when I get into this, it's going to sound like that I adhere to a doctrine called predestination. And I want to let you know right up front that I do not. Okay. However, there is an element of that that exists. I'm going to say that again. There is an element of that, and we're going to elaborate a little bit on that. So let's talk about this. This, the Book of the Living. All right. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. The Lord speaks to Jeremiah, and he says, "Before I formed you in your mother's belly." Before I formed you in the belly. Before, not during, not after. Before Jeremiah was formed in the belly, the Lord says, "I knew you." Not know, know as in present tense, but it is new as in past tense. He was already acquainted with Jeremiah. "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you." In other words, he was already set. The word sanctified means to set apart. Notice that Jeremiah was known by God before he was formed in the womb. Number two, he was already set apart before he came out of the womb. And number three, he was ordained to be a prophet to the nations. Are you kidding me? He wasn't even born yet, and he was already sanctified and set apart and ordained as a prophet? Yes. All right. Now look at this. Psalms 139. I'm going to give you a second to turn there if you want to follow along with me. Psalms chapter 139. This, David wrote this. He said, "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed." And again, David is echoing the same thing that was written by the prophet Jeremiah. He says, "Before I was even formed, you saw my substance." Now listen to this. "And in your book, they all were written." Did you hear that? They were all written. "The days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them." Golly, Guys, again, this is a teaching, not a preaching, so I got to slow this down so you can get this. I want you to grasp this. David, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us that before we're formed, before we're created in the womb and fashioned in the womb, there's a book in heaven called the Book of the Living, in which our days are written when we have yet even stepped into those days here on earth. So I wrote this down, or we took some notes here. So before the birth of any human being, there is information recorded in heaven concerning the details of our lives. In the book of this book of the living, there is details about us before we're even put in our womb. Think about this. God Himself specifically knows each one of us, what our purpose is, and what our destinies shall be before we even show up on earth. Now you say, well, that sounds like predestination. Yes, it is an element of it. Now let's talk about that, because I know we're going to get a lot of questions on that. Romans 8. Turn with me, Romans chapter 8, verses 29 through 30. I've got all these down, or I'd have my Bible flipping it with you, okay? So this saves a little bit of time for me, but if you want to follow along with me, Romans 8, 29 through 30. For whom he foreknew, somebody say foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, we're not talking about predestination as far as predestined. Some are predestined to be saved and some are predestined to go to hell. We're not talking about that. That's the radical element of that. And that's not what we adhere to. We do not preach, we don't teach, and we don't believe that doctrine. Okay, I'm just letting you know up front. It says he also predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. In other words, it was God's intent for us from the foundation of the world to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, whether or not we do that is up to us. Let me give you some other verses that I did not put in my notes that are coming to me. The Lord says this, I set before you life and death. Choose life that you may live. Notice he gives us a choice. Listen to this, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, you can read this, read it, go looking at it in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever shall believe in him should not perish. That's what your 16:11 King James says. It says should not perish. It didn't say he would not. It said he should not. You know why it says should not? Because just because God gave his only begotten son to us that we may live eternally doesn't mean that everyone is going to. Again, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that we should not perish, but have eternal life. But again, we have a choice. God didn't create us to be robots. He gave us a free will and he gave us a choice to serve him or not serve him. Let me give you some more scriptures on this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Oh, this will blow you away. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Did you hear that? God created us as his workmanship and prepared it beforehand. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Read Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have towards you, or I think towards you, says the Lord. Or I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith the Lord. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future, to give you a hope, and to give you an expected end. In other words, in the thought process of God in this book of the living, in spirit form, every person that would ever be destined to be born on the earth was already in this book. And I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow you away. Even little children that die prematurely in the womb, they're aborted, they die through miscarriage, through a disaster, through an accident, whatever the case may be, and they die before they're ever birthed out of the womb. Their spirit and their soul goes back to God and whom gave it. This is not going to be for everybody. This is some deep word. If you like deep word, you're going to love this. If this is too deep for you, you're not going to enjoy this. But I'm going to tell you something. David understood this because when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and he began to fast about the child that was conceived through adultery, and when the child died, when it was miscarried, he stopped fasting, and when his servants came and said, "We don't understand why you were fasting when the child was born, but why have you stopped fasting after he stopped fasting?" He said, listen to this, by revelation of the Holy Spirit, he says, "Where he is, I can go be with him, but I cannot bring him to me." Where is he? He, his child, the soul and spirit, was in heaven with God Almighty. And whom gave it? Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 4 through 6. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Chew on that for a second. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Well, my goodness. Before the foundation of the world, I would have to say that was before you were ever born. Before you were ever conceived in your mother's thought or your father's thought. Before your mother was ever born or your father was ever born. Before their mother and father was ever born. Before any humanity was placed on earth, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to this. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. In other words, it's his will that we would be adopted as sons and daughters. Listen to this, 1 Timothy 2:3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance." Again, it's not the will of the Father that any should perish. It's the will of the Father that all come to repentance and the saving knowledge. But the facts are, that's just not the case, because many will refuse this gospel. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life." Listen to this, John 3:17. "For God did not send his world and God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him." Again, it all boils down to choice. We have a free will. We either accept him or we reject him. And he who rejects the Son of God has been condemned already, because he has not accepted the only begotten Son of the Father. Whew. Now, Hebrews 10:5-7. "Therefore, when he came into the world," he said, look, this is Jesus speaking of himself. Or this is a passage dealing, I'm sorry, with Jesus. "Therefore, when he came into the world," talking about Jesus, "the word of the Lord says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me." So again, Jesus pre-existed with the Father in heaven before he was ever manifested on earth. Read it in your Bible, John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And let me just pull this up. I don't want to, I want to make sure that we get this right. I'm trying to quote this from memory, but we don't. I don't want get for number one. I don't want people fussing at me because I quoted this wrong. So we're going to pull it up right here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. Who was the Word that was with God? It was Jesus. I'm going to prove it to you. Ready? Watch this. Let's read on. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. And what does it go on to say? The Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us. It's speaking of Jesus, okay? So notice, it said that God the Father prepared a body for the Son. He prepared, a body was prepared for Jesus. So we all know the story. The Holy Spirit came over Mary. He impregnated Mary with the seed of God. And thus Jesus came half man, half God. Okay? And this is how He was able to do and how He was able to redeem mankind. This is the simplicity of the gospel. Revelation 3. Listen to this. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Did you know that you're going to get a new name? You may have been given a name by your parents, but God's already got a name given to you and reserved for you that He's had for you since the foundation of the world. And many of those names have already been revealed to some. For example, Saul was his earthly name, but come on, God said, I'm going to give you a new name. Your name's going to be Paul. Come on, somebody. Simon is your earthly name, but you're going to be called Peter. Joseph, Jacob is your earthly name, but I'm going to call you Israel. Come on. Abram is your earthly name, but I'm going to call you Abraham. And the list goes on and on and on. All right. So again, there is a book of the living, which is a book in heaven that has information about you and I that existed before the foundation of the world. We were known by God before we were ever manifest on earth. I know this is deep and this is going to just blow some people away, but it's all there in Scripture. Okay? Now, listen to this. Let's go to the second book. Then you have, did you know that there's a book of tears in heaven? Let me say that again. There's a book of tears in heaven. Woo! Psalms 56 verse 8. Listen to this. You number my wanderings. You put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? So there is a book in heaven that keeps our tears. Now let me give you a little bit of information here. Did you know that in the time of Christ, historically speaking, there was what was called tear bottles? And these were small bottles that were used to collect the tears of men and women at funerals. Whenever funerals would take place, they would come with these bottles and they would collect these tears in these bottles and they were sealed. And this imagery here, again, comes from Psalms 56, 8, where by revelation of the Spirit of God, the psalmist understood that our tears are stored in bottle. Now, how is this possible? I believe it's supernatural. I believe the angels of God do this. I believe when we shed tears, we may not see it, we may not feel it, but angels of God supernaturally store tears in a bottle and they're put up in heaven and they're put in this book. This is so powerful. Listen to this. 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Now, I'm not going to read all this. I'm going to paraphrase this for sake of time. Here you have Hezekiah. He was sick unto death. The prophet Isaiah goes to him. He was sent by the Lord and says, set your house in order, for you shall die. Okay, and as a result of this, Hezekiah turns his, he turns and he faces Jerusalem. The Bible says he begins to weep bitterly before the Lord. He begins to weep. He begins to cry out to the Lord. And he says, Lord, remember my prayers that I've done. Remember the good deeds I've done for you. Remember the things that I've done. And your Bible says, and it happened before Isaiah had gone out in the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came to him saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father. Listen to this. I have heard your prayers and I have seen your tears. The Lord saw the tears of Hezekiah when he was weeping. And because of this, we know the story. God extends him 15 more days. Come on, somebody. This is powerful. Every tear you've shed, every time you've lost a loved one, every time a heartache's come, every time a pain, every time a divorce has took place, a marital problem has taken place, a financial crisis, a pain, a suffering, an infirmity, a disease, an abandonment, something has happened in your family, something's happened in your life, something sorrowful has happened and it's caused you to shed tears. My friend, you may be all alone and think that no one sees and no one cares, but I'm going to tell you something. According to the word of God, not only does God himself see, but he sends angels of the Lord, I believe, with all my heart to come and take your tears, and they are put in a book that is before him in heaven. In other words, he opens this book where your name is, and it could be directly associated with the book of the living or the book of life, which we'll talk about. And he sees those tears that are in that book, and it gets the attention of our Heavenly Father. So number one, you have the book of the living in heaven. Number two, you have the book of tears in heaven. And number three, you have what's called the book of remembrance. Somebody say the book of remembrance. Well, where is this found, preacher? It's found in Malachi chapter 3. Listen to this, Malachi 3:16. And then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him. Where's this book written? Before him. Where is the Lord? He's in heaven. And listen, why was this book written? For them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Isn't that powerful? So there's a book of remembrance. There's a book of remembrance in heaven. And in it is every name of every man, woman, and child that often speak of him and fear him. And I'm going to show you some other things to this. Now, you go over here with me to Acts chapter 10 in the New Testament. And the revelation of this book mentioned by Malachi in the Old Testament is brought to light in the New Testament in Acts chapter 10. Here's what it says. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Regiment. He was a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, one who gave often, one that prayed to God always, and he saw in a vision about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of the Lord came to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked upon him, he was afraid, and he said, what is it, my Lord? And the angel said unto him, listen to this. This is profound. Your prayers and your alms, or your giving, have come up for a memorial before God. Did you hear that? His prayers and his giving went up before God as a memorial to heaven. Now, consequently, the word memorial, or the word remembrance, comes from a Hebrew word meaning memorial. And that's why the angel of God used that terminology when he was speaking to Cornelius and said that your giving and your prayers have went up before the Lord as a memorial. It's a remembrance. And it's stored up in heaven. My goodness, if that doesn't, listen guys, if that don't make you happy, then what, all my people that are generous givers, people that honor the Lord with the first fruits of the increase, the tithers, the givers, those who have a covenant with God, those who fear God, they pray often, they speak one to another about the Lord is always on their lips and always in their communication. And they walk before him in covenant with him. This should excite you to know that you are known by God and remembered by God in a book in heaven called the Book of Remembrance. So number one, we have the Book of the Living in heaven. Number two, we have the Book of Tears in heaven. Number three, we have a book called the Book of Remembrance in heaven. And number four, there appears to be a book in heaven. Oh, now this is going to stir some folks up right here. There appears to be what is called a book of works and deeds. Now I know a lot of denominational folks out there that always want to harp on that it's not about works, it's not about works, it's not about works. No, it's not about works when it comes to salvation, for we are saved by grace and not of works, lest any man should boast. I absolutely agree with that. But let me give you a statement here. Ready? Saved people work for the kingdom. You're not saved to sit down. You're saved to do work. And that includes women. Hello? That includes women. Women are not called to get saved and sit down, MacArthur. They're called, they can also do works for the kingdom. Listen, the fifth book the fourth book here alludes to rewards to the believer. There appears to be records in heaven of our deeds and works that are done that we will be held accountable to and be judged by. Ready? Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 7 verse 10, it says there will be a judgment set and books opened. All right? In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of it on the day of judgment. Did you know that you're going to be judged by your words? An idle word alludes to something that is what's deemed to be useless, lazy, and barren. Words that are harmful to people, words that are not encouraging, edifying, or build up. In other words, they're useless, they're destructive, they're divisive. Jesus said, or the Lord said in Proverbs 6, yea, these six things are an abomination unto the Lord, yea, even seven are an abomination unto him. And one of those is he that sows discord among the brethren. Proverbs 18:21 says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. In James chapter 3, you can go read it, verses 1 through 12. James tells us that our tongue is a little member and boasts great things. He said it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hellfire. With this tongue, we bless men. We bless our God and Father, and we curse men that have been made in the image of God. And he says these things ought not be. How can fresh water and bitter water flow from the same fountain? Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, Jesus said we'll be judged by our words. We'll be held accountable to this. Now listen to this. Romans 2 verse 6. starting at verse 6. Romans 2 starting at verse 6. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and do the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the richness of his goodness, his forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you unto repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impudent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath and the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Listen to verse 6 of Romans 2. Who will render to each one according to his deeds. Did you hear that? His deeds. The Greek word for deeds here is a word meaning to work. We're going to work for the kingdom. You're not called to just sit down. You're called to do a work for the kingdom. Remember in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, and it's also in another one of the Gospels, there's the parable of the 10 talents. And to one he gave 10, to another he gave 5, to another he gave 1. I believe that's how it goes. In other words, he gave each one a certain amount of talents. And to one he gave a certain amount of talents. And he says, while I'm away, what did you do with these talents? And one came forth and he said, I took those talents and I invested them into the kingdom and I brought forth much fruit out of it, investment. And the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the riches. Enter in because you've invested into what I've given you. Then he turns to the next servant, says, ask the same thing. What did you do? He says, I invested it. He says, well done. Then he goes to the one whom he gave 1 talent. And he says, what did you do with the talent that I gave you? The skill, the talent, the gift, the purpose that I gave you. He says, Lord, I buried it. I didn't invest it. I didn't use it. I just sat on it. And he was rebuked by the Lord. He called him a wicked servant. Go read it in your Bible. I don't have time. I don't even have this in my notes. You go study it on your own. He called him, you wicked servant. And he said, he called for him to be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth because he did not invest in what God called him to invest in and use the talent that he called him to do it. Well, I don't know if I believe that, Brother Ricky. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 and 15, 3, 15. Listen to this. Who then is Paul and who's Apollos? But these are ministers to whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. Listen to what Paul said. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he who plants anything, neither is he who waters, but God gives the increase. Well, let's read on. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Let me say that again. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. In other words, not what somebody else does. I'm not going to be rewarded for what you do. You're not going to be rewarded for what I do. But I'm going to be rewarded for what I do with my talent, with my gifts, with my calling. And listen to this. I'm going to take it a step further. What you sow your money into, you're going to be held accountable to. Are you help investing in the kingdom? Are you help winning souls to the Lord? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Or is all your money investing into the kingdom of darkness, into the God of this world, the love of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? Come on, are you giving to the poor, giving to the needy, giving to the widow, giving to the orphans? Huh? I'm asking you. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Listen to this, verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can any lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, now what's he talking about here? He's talking about what is your motive of what you're doing for the kingdom? What is your intent? What is your motive? Listen to this. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. So he mentions here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different elements. Now listen to this. Each one's work each one's what? Work will become clear, for the day will declare it. What day? Well, he answers it. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's what? Work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on, endures. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Wood is not going to endure fire. Hay is not going to endure fire. Straw is not going to endure fire. And some precious stones ain't. But gold and silver. Gold, you know, gold is melted down, and they take the impurities that will come to surface, and they skim it off when they melt gold down. So not all these elements are going to withstand the fire. And listen to what he says. Each one's work will be judged by fire. And if anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a what? A reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet though as through fire. So this is not a salvation issue here, guys, but it's a matter of rewards. I can show you in the book of Revelation when the 24 elders are standing before the throne and they're casting their crowns before the Lamb of God. How do they have crowns? Where do they get these crowns? They came because they are the rewards in which they have obtained through their faithfulness in serving God. Remember, you go to the book of Revelation and it says to the seven churches, and he who overcomes, I will do this. And he who overcomes, I will do that. And he who overcomes shall have this. Why? It's the gift to the overcomers, the rewards to the overcomers. Listen to this. Do you know that? Listen to that. Matthew 6. Take heed that you do not do your giving before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So, in other words, don't broadcast your giving. This is why it irks me when I go to churches and they have all these the walls up and these plaques up where so-and-so has their name up there because they gave $5,000 or they gave $10,000. So they got a special plaque and a special reward there in the halls of their church where you can see the gift that they gave. You can see their name and you can see the date in which they give it. Listen, they got the reward, but they got it on earth. They didn't get their reward. They lost their reward in heaven because they gave to be seen by men. Oh, I know I'm going to get some ugly letters on that one, but it's the truth. The Bible, Jesus said, don't let your left hand see what your right hand is giving. Don't let your giving be done in secret so that your Father who sees in secret will see you in secret and reward you openly. Hallelujah. So I want my giving to be done in secret so I can be rewarded openly. Now, so you know what this is? This is a double blessing. Not only when you give in secret will you be rewarded openly. Now listen, you being rewarded openly is a reward here on earth. It's an open reward to be blessed, to be seen by men openly, but you're also going to get a reward in heaven. But if you give with the whole purpose to be seen by men so that you can get the best seat, read that in the book of James. There's men that came into the church and because they were rich and they were wealthy and they were the biggest tithers or they were the biggest givers, they were given certain, blessings and certain rights that other people who were poor or unfortunate or not well off, they had a set in the back. Come on. But those who were well off and those were they were given special rewards and they were set up front to the best seats in the house. The Pharisees did this. They wanted to be seen by men and they got the reward. Jesus said, don't be like them or you're going to get rewarded on earth through pats on the back and people shaking your hand and plaques with your name on it. But I'm, listen, you can keep the plaque, you can keep the handshake, and you can keep the pat on the back. Give me my rewards in heaven, or give me my open reward before men, because I've been praying in secret and I've been giving in secret, and my Father who sees in secret will reward me openly. Hallelujah. All right, so number one, we have the book of the living. Number two, we have the book of tears. Number three, we have the book of remembrance. Number four, we have the book, it seems like it's the book of deeds. We're just going to call it the book of deeds. And then finally, number five, we have the book of life. Now listen, you may not care about the book of tears. You may, whether you believe or don't care about the book of the living, don't really matter, because it's there whether regardless. You may not care about the book of deeds, and you may not care about the book of remembrance, but I'm going to tell you one thing. You better, there's one book you better know for certain that your name is in, and it's called the book of life. This book contains the names of those who have repented of their sins and have put their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So all those who have said yes to Christ, who are born again, who are saved, who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, their names are inscribed in this book in heaven called the Book of Life. All right? Now Moses, I believe by revelation of God, saw this book, and he mentions it in Exodus 32 in the Old Testament. He mentions a book that was not revealed in the New Testament fully in the Old Testament. Ready? Listen to this. In Exodus 32:32-33. Here is where Moses is contending with God for the nation of Israel. They're in an argument. They're in a dispute over whose people they are. Moses is mad at them. God's mad at them. God says, I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to destroy them. And I'm going to start over. And Moses stands in the gap, and he begins to intercede and travail for them. And listen what Moses says in verse Exodus 32:32. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, listen to this, blot me out of your book which you have written. And the Lord says to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now, this book in heaven that Moses had revelation of, so I don't know whether he saw it literally, because remember, Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai when he received the commandments of the Lord. He was there 40 days and 40 nights. He was in the direct presence of God. So no doubt he received this revelation while he was there. And then he came down off the mountain. He saw Aaron and the Israelites that formed a golden calf. They fell into idolatry. Moses got mad. He broke the commandments. He had to go back up on the mountain for another 40 days and 40 nights to receive the commandments again. So that's, do the math, that's 80 days in the direct presence of God. So I believe by revelation of the Lord that Moses saw or proceed. I don't have time to get into that. I could talk about the Greek word see. Nicodemus was told by Jesus, lest you be born again, you'll by no means perceive or see the kingdom of heaven. That word, you'll by no means see. See is to perceive. It's to have knowledge of or understanding, perception of. Moses had a perception of, knew, or by revelation of the Spirit of God, that there was a book in heaven in which names were inscribed in it. But are you ready for this? But these names could be blotted out. They could be removed from the book. Now watch this. Now let's go to Daniel 12:1. Now this is speaking, this is Daniel by revelation of God, who is a prophet, is speaking of the Antichrist. And when he's coming, he's talking about the tribulation. He's talking about the Antichrist. He's talking about the time of the end. And it says in Daniel 12:1, at that time, Michael, the archangel, that's who he's talking about, shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, that's Israel, the nation of Israel, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. He's talking about the great tribulation. Even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered. Listen to this. Everyone who is found written in the book, who's going to be delivered? Those written are found in the book. Now let's go to New Testament, Luke chapter 10. Notice that Daniel the prophet refers to this book as the book, and Moses says the book. But then when we get into the New Testament, it's called the book of life or the Lamb's book of life. Why is that? Because the two references I gave you, Old Testament, were Old Covenant, and Jesus had not shed his blood for the redemption of our sins. Thus, he did not make the new covenant yet. But now we go to the New Testament, New Covenant, under the blood of Jesus. Listen to this. Luke 10, 19, 21. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, listen to this. Do not rejoice in this. Don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, how were they written in heaven? Because they were disciples. They were believers on Jesus Christ. The moment they said yes to him, they believed in him, they were inscribed in the Lamb's book of life. Philippians 4:3. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. Oh, that's interesting. There was women that were laboring with Paul in the gospel. You mean they didn't stay home and shut up? Sorry, guys, I just get stirred up about this nonsense. I see all this division and strife and discord over stuff that's said. It grieves my spirit. Let me read it again. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers. It's interesting. Paul called these women fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. The book of life. They're in the what? The book of life. Revelation 3. Uh-oh, this one's going to stir up something. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Whoa, we got a problem here. Moses and the Old Covenant, by revelation of the Holy Spirit, understood that that names could be blotted out of this book. And then we have John the Revelator, New Testament, New Covenant, after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, he that overcomes, this is Jesus speaking, he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I, the Lord speaking, Jesus, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Stop. I've heard denominational preachers preach, nowhere in the Bible can your name be written, your name cannot be blotted out of the book. We cannot lose, this is what they say, once saved, always saved. You cannot lose your salvation. There's no risk of you getting your name blotted out. Well, hold on here. We've got to do some deeper study here. Yes, there's partial truth to that. No one can pluck you out of his hand. No one. Neither life nor death, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor angels, nor demons, nor principalities, nor things here. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. But you ready for this? There's only one person who can separate you from him, from his presence, and get you out of his hand. You ready? And it's you. You yourself. Let me read it again. He that overcomes. Only overcomers, my friend, are those who will not get their name blotted out of the book. And those will be confessed before the Father and before His angels. Who? Overcomers. Notice again, Moses' Old Covenant, Old Testament, talks about names being blotted out of the book. John the Revelator mentions names being blotted out of the book. Oh, and by the way, Revelation, listen to this, Revelation 22, 18 through 19, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, talking about the book of Revelation. If anyone adds to these things, God will add him to the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, listen to this warning, God shall take away his part from the book of life. Did you hear that? He will take away his part from the book of life. How's he going to do that? He's going to blot it out. From the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Revelation 20, 11 through 15, and this is where I'm going to close. And then we're going to pray for some folks. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. I saved the most sobering passage of Scripture for last. So let's recap this before I read this. Number one, there's the book of the living. Number two, there's the book of tears. Number three, there's the book of remembrance. Number four, there's the book of deeds. And number five, there's the book of life. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face, the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books, plural, books, not one book, plural tense, books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works. By their what? Works. By the things which were written in the books. Plural tense. And the sea gave up the dead and who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged each one according to his works. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15. And anyone who was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My friends, I know this is a very sobering message today. It's a teaching, but it's a message. It's a warning. You never know who's going to be listening to this on podcast, or who's going to be watching this on Facebook, or who's going to be listening to this on YouTube. But listen, like I said a while ago earlier, you can choose not to take serious some of these books that we talked about. But I'm going to tell you, friends, the most important book of all these books by far is the Lamb's Book of Life. And I don't want to leave this broadcast today without you having the assurance that your name is in that book. Now listen, and you say, well, hold on, brother. You said that he that overcomes. I don't want to get my name. Listen, if you wake up every single day and you keep thriving, you keep contending, and you keep serving God, listen, this is where true biblical grace comes in. I know we've got a lot of misconceptions and distortions of grace that's been slaughtered out there and preached and leading people astray. But the true biblical true biblical understanding of grace is going to come in right here. And that is, listen, if you love God and you're serving God and you want to know God and you want to be an overcomer. Listen, friends, where there is a will, there's a way. God is going to move heaven and earth to help you by the Spirit of God, by the Parakletos, the Comforter. He's given you the Holy Spirit to come alongside of you. Why? So that you can endure to the end. That he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. He that overcomes shall be saved. Come on, I believe I'm speaking to some overcomers today. I believe I'm speaking to some folks that's going to endure to the end today. Why? Because you love him. You are looking for his return. You're wanting to make your garments white. You're wanting to make yourself right before him. I know you're not perfect. I can hear that today. I can hear the enemy condemning some folks today. The enemy wants to put condemnation on you today. He wants to condemn you before the kingdom, before heaven today, and make you think that you can never meet par, that you keep falling short, that you have weaknesses, that you're falling short in these areas. But here's the key, guys. You got to keep getting back up. You got to keep getting back in the race. Brush yourself off. Get yourself back in the saddle. Come on, repent and get back into the family of God, the kingdom of God, and keep pressing forward. That's the key. Pressing. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent are forcefully advancing the kingdom. They're forcing their way into the kingdom, pressing into the kingdom. So I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray if there's someone watching this today by YouTube, maybe you're listening by podcast or watching by Facebook, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ. You know the answer to that. Listen, I don't have to beat you over the head with a baseball bat to get you to understand whether or not you have not accepted the Lord. You know this already. The Holy Spirit's already convicting you. Listen, I want to make sure that your name is inscribed in this book in heaven. I want you, wherever you're listening to this today, wherever you're watching this today, I want you to begin to open your mouth right where you're at. And I want you to begin to talk to our Heavenly Father. You begin to pray. Begin to talk to Him like you would talk to your friend, to your spouse, to your family. Begin to talk to Him and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm just going to lead you today. You don't have to repeat this after me, but I'm going to pray and you can pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, please forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for where I've done my own thing. Forgive me where I've tried to be my own God and I've tried to do things my own way and where I've rejected you and where I've despised the gospel and where I've tried to do things in my own way and run things and run my own show. But today I acknowledge that I am not right with you today. I know that I'm not serving you. I know my heart's not right with you today. And I want to make things right with you today. I want to have an assurance today that if I should die today, if I should go on and live 30 more years from now and I still die, I want to know that my name is inscribed in heaven. I want to know that my name is in this Lamb's Book of Life. I want to be in the family and I want you to put my name in heaven. So I'm asking today, you said in your word in Romans, in the book of Romans, that if I believe in my heart that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, and if I confess with my mouth that this very thing, then I shall be saved. I confess today that you are Lord and Savior, that you died for my sins and that you rose again on the third day so that I may have eternal life. And that you would live and breathe and move on the inside of me through the Holy Spirit. I'm asking today that you would do that for me today and give me the peace and assurance to know that I am truly born again and saved. In Jesus' name, I pray. Friends, it's that simple. If you prayed that and you meant that from your heart, then you're born again. Your name is inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you say, what do I do now? You may be listening to this and you say, brother, I'm struggling. What do I do? It's simple. The Bible says that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Just right where you're at, just repent. It's simple to change your mind, to turn around, do a 180. Stop where you're at. Stop going in the direction that you're going, running from him, and turn around and run back to him. Run back into his arms. That's what the story of the prodigal father taught us. The prodigal son, I'm sorry, and the father. It taught us that when we come to our senses and we get up and we turn back to him, turn back to the Father. We can run back to Him, and He's already waiting for us with His arms wide open. Come on, to embrace us and take us back into the kingdom. And what I love about that scripture is that He had the robe, He had the fatted calf, He had the ring, He had His sandals. In other words, He rightfully put Him back into the position that He held before He left. Come on, somebody. And that's how good our God is. He loves us that much. He wills that none perish, but all comes to repentance and to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I hope, guys, that you've enjoyed this special teaching today. Again, tag somebody in this, share this with somebody that may be interested in this topic. Again, 5 books in heaven that you need to know about. I believe it'll be a great blessing to them. I pray that this message has been a great word of encouragement to you and exhortation to you. And listen, as always, if you have not yet subscribed to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, and you can also find us at remnantrevival.org, remnantrevival.org. We want to encourage you to take the time to do that. Right there under Facebook Live, if you click on the link, if you're watching this, click on that link. It's going to take you to a page. It's going to be our main website, and you're going to see a place where you can subscribe to not only to our daily digest, but to push notifications. Okay, so if you're watching, if you're listening by podcast and you're watching by YouTube, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. There'll be more information at the end of this broadcast on more about that. If you wish to give to this ministry, if you'd like to partner with this ministry, if you'd like to support this ministry, if you believe in what we're doing, all of our messages are free every single week. We're equipping, we're encouraging, we're edifying, and we're informing our readers and listeners of the times and seasons which we're in, but we're also helping you as the body, encouraging you, equipping you. If you believe in our mission statement, if you believe in what we're doing, our vision, we want to ask you to pray about it. Ask the Holy Spirit what you would do. Maybe it's a one-time gift. You're on podcasts, you by YouTube, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. All that information is going to be there on how you can do that. You're going to see all kinds of places where you can do that. You on Facebook Live, just click on that link. You're going to see places there where you can give. Again, you can give electronically or you can give by check or money order. Okay, and all that information, again, on you guys on Facebook, that's End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana, and the zip is 47131. That's going to be our physical mailing address where you can give by check or money order. You guys listening here again by podcast and by YouTube, all that, you should see all that. As soon as we close this, you're going to see all that information there. It's going to come up before you that you can see that. So again, we appreciate you guys. We love you. And we thank you for your prayers and your support and your giving to this ministry. We're going to take off tomorrow, which will be Wednesday, and we'll be back on here on Thursday. Listen, you don't want to miss this message on Thursday. It's a right now word for the season in which we're coming up at the end of this month. So you don't want to miss that. And we're going to talk about that on Thursday. So God bless you guys. We'll see you then.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana, 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.